grandfather tell me how it was when you were young? Was the world so very old when your life had just begun? Oh, grandfather, tell me, is it true you worked the land? And the tools that you used, you made with your own hands.
Good afternoon and welcome to Living Permaculture on KDNK. I'm your host, Vanessa Harmony of Colorado Edible Forest Plant Nursery in Spring Valley of Glenwood Springs at Rivendell Farms. On today's program, I'm delighted to introduce my friend and colleague, Rita Mary Hennigan, co-director of Uproot Colorado. Uproot Colorado is a local nonprofit organization with the mission of increasing nutrition security of Coloradans by harvesting and redistributing surplus, nutrient-dense foods while supporting the resilience of farmers. Rita holds a Bachelor of Arts in Environmental Studies from Wellesley College and a Sustainability Certificate from Babson, Olind, and Wellesley Colleges. She has also worked as an AmeriCorps VISTA and in other capacities for nonprofit organizations aiming to increase equity in food access. Rita is an alumnus of the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union Fellowship Program, and she is currently Vice President of the Roaring Fork Farmers and Ranchers. Rita, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, as a lead-in to discussing your work with Uproot Colorado, I wonder if first you would share with our listeners the definition and history of a word our listeners might not be familiar with, and that is gleaning.
Sure. Yeah, I would love to do that. And often give the definition of gleaning when I'm starting to talk about the work that we do, because it is a concept that's not familiar to everyone. So gleaning is the act of harvesting leftover or surplus crops, so fruits and veggies from farmers' fields or orchards after farmers have commercially harvested them or when it's not economically viable for farmers to harvest. Gleaning can also refer to harvesting surplus fruit from backyard fruit trees, which I can get into a little bit later. There's a lot of that in the Roaring Fork Valley. And often, when surplus crops are harvested through gleaning, the food ends up going to people who are experiencing food and nutrition insecurity. So people who don't have sufficient access to nutritious food to feed themselves and their family. I think that is often woven into the concept of gleaning as well. And so gleaning is a practice that is thousands of years old. It's an ancient practice, and one of the original definitions of gleaning comes from sources as old as the Bible or the Tanakh, in which it states that people who owned land were instructed to leave the edges of their fields unharvested so that people living in poverty could come glean surplus crops to sustain themselves and their families. So it kind of originated, I believe, in Israel and made its way to Europe, and it was part of feudal European societies. And that all is kind of historical gleaning. And that is connected to, but distinct in certain ways, from modern day gleaning. So modern day gleaning is often led by nonprofit organizations like Uproot or other community groups. And the surplus crops that we're harvesting with modern day gleaning are often left in farms and orchards for reasons that are outside of farmers' control. So there are kind of systemic issues that lead to there being surplus crops that include cosmetic standards that are imposed on fruit and vegetables by grocery stores, for example, or other large buyers. There is an agricultural labor shortage that often leaves farmers without all of the help that they need to harvest the food that they grow. And sometimes the reason that there's surplus has to do with an economic imbalance where the cost to harvest is higher than the price that farmers will receive for the food that they produce. And so it doesn't always make economic sense for farmers to harvest all that they grow. So those are kind of brief overviews of historical gleaning and modern day gleaning. In both situations, they were designed to get surplus crops to people in need.
That's awesome. So you work with both commercial farms as well as individual property owners?
Yep, exactly. So it kind of depends on the region. Uproot currently works in parts of 15 counties across the state of Colorado. and our work was started in Carbondale and in Boulder back in 2017 and has grown up and out from those two locales to now 15 counties. And it, depending on the region, we're working on commercial farms, we're working in commercial orchards, and like I mentioned, a lot of our gleaning program in the Roaring Fork Valley in Garfield County is from backyard fruit trees, which sometimes they're in a front yard, sometimes they're on a private property affiliated with a business, sometimes they're on public property. I know that we work together to care for some fruit trees on publicly owned properties, which we can talk about later, but the gleaning that we do kind of runs the gamut and includes both commercial and non-commercial agricultural production sites.
Nice. And we can give a shout out to our friend Abby Anderson, also with Uproot, but she works in a different county.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Abby is our staff person, our gleaning and food systems coordinator, who lives in Paonia, just over the path there. And so she is doing a lot of work with commercial orchardists, as well as people who have kind of inherited orchards that used to be used in commercial production, but that now just exist and are producing a lot of fruit that doesn't have as much of an outlet. So we'll work with individual homeowners and property owners to harvest their surplus fruit and get it to local hunger relief organizations that serve people who need greater access to this sort of nutritious, locally produced and fresh food.
Nice. Well, recently when you and I were talking, you mentioned an annual gleaning conference you usually attend, although you didn't attend this year. And that just gave me the perspective of how big a movement gleaning is, that it's increasing in popularity and traction. Can you tell me some more about other gleaning efforts from around the country or around the world?
Sure. Yeah. So the Gleaning Symposium is the event I mentioned recently. Some of my colleagues were just there about a week ago in Seattle this year, and the location changes every year. But that's organized by an entity called the Association of Gleaning Organizations. That was founded by Sean Peterson, who used to direct a Salt Lake City-based gleaning organization called Green Urban Lunchbox. And that organization still exists. They're still gleaning in Salt Lake City. And Sean has moved on to coordinating this network that connects gleaners from across the country. And technically, I think the Gleaning Symposium is referred to as the International Gleaning Symposium because sometimes there are gleaners from Canada who join us down here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But gleaning does take place across the U.S. and across the world, and we feel lucky to be connected with other gleaners across the U.S. through the Association of Gleaning Organizations. We're able to share resources, share our learnings and best practices, and get better at what we do by learning from others. Some of the ones that come to mind immediately for me are Green Urban Lunchbox in Salt Lake City. There's Concrete Jungle, which is an organization that gleans from urban fruit trees in Atlanta, Georgia, that we've learned a lot from, as well as City Fruit in Seattle, Portland Fruit Tree Project. They're both organizations in the Pacific Northwest that focus, again, on urban fruit tree gleaning. And I know that there are gleaning efforts in other countries as well. So I mentioned that gleaning's roots are kind of in the Middle East and Europe. And I know of the espigaladores in Spain. Espigar is the word that comes from, and that is the word in Spanish that means to glean. So there are gleaners kind of all over the place, and it's exciting to be able to connect with and learn from them. And while it is a kind of increasingly popular movement, I do like to highlight the fact that even with all of these gleaning efforts, a lot of surplus fruits and vegetables remain unharvested, unsold, and uneaten from agricultural settings across the U.S. So when talking about food surplus, you know, there's some that happens on farms, some happens at other points in the food supply chain, so in manufacturing and consumer-facing businesses, but the vast majority of food that is lost along the supply chain happens in our households. And just looking at some data from an organization we often rely on called REFED, which is an acronym for Rethinking Food Waste Through Economics and Data, the information they've collected shows that 42.8 million tons of food is wasted in households each year. And that makes up just about half of all food that's lost along the food supply chain. Whereas when you look at farms, that's 14.9 million tons of food that remain unharvested and uneaten from farm settings, which comprises just about 17% of food lost all along the supply chain. And so ReFED also shares data that shows that of that 14.9 million tons, the 16 or 17% of food that's lost all along the supply chain, only 2% of that is currently being recovered and redistributed through efforts like gleaning. So I am always excited to connect with other gleaners, and I also know that as a network of gleaners, we're sort of just scratching the surface of what is possible, of the opportunity out there to redirect food from where it exists as surplus on farms and in orchards to where there's a need.
Right. And so I'm just thinking, if most of the food waste is wasted in the household, we also have to consider all of like the packaging and, you know, the bags and the transport to the grocery store and the trips to, or the travel to get the food to the grocery store. So there's also all of those costs as well as the wasted food.
Yes, absolutely. The further food gets into the food supply chain, the more resources it has effectively consumed. And so you're right that by the time food gets to the grocery store, we take it home and then we let it go to waste by forgetting about it in our fridge or by not eating our leftovers, for example. That all is really impactful in a negative way on the environment. And so that is, I think, the beautiful part about gleaning, and something that really draws me to it is, you know, yes, we're directly addressing the agricultural surplus that happens on farms, but we also have an opportunity to educate people about how negatively food waste in our own households impacts the environment. We can educate folks about the fact that we as individuals are the largest source of food waste, and kind of inspire people to take action and ownership of how we're showing up in the food system and our own habits around generating food waste.
Now, I know that you mostly work with fresh produce, and but would gleaning also consist of like maybe food from the grocery store that may have gone past its best by date, or like, you know, things from the bakery that didn't sell? Is that also considered gleaning if people are upcycling or using that food?
I think it certainly can be. And the way people use the term gleaning varies slightly. Certainly some of the gleaners who participate in the nationwide gleaning network I was talking about do include kind of grocery store food rescue in the term gleaning, or it could also account for kind of visiting farmers markets just as they're wrapping up and taking surplus food that farmers weren't able to sell over the course of a farmer's market, for example. So people certainly do use the term that way. For Uproot, we specifically use gleaning, the term gleaning, to refer to the harvesting and redistribution of surplus crops from agricultural settings, the settings where food is being produced. And again, that could be commercial settings. It also includes privately owned fruit trees and orchards. But it has to do with having that direct connection to where the food is being produced. And that's a really important part of our work in our program, is having those direct connections to the sources of our food and creating opportunities for our volunteers to step foot onto farms, to step foot onto orchards, and to have that experience of harvesting the food. Because I think that that experience of being out on a farm for even a couple hours at a time, which is typically how long one of our gleaning events lasts, is really impactful and allows us to remember all that goes into our food production. Our food system today is so often set up in such a way that we are removed from those experiences and forget all of the resources that go into food production. And so that act of spending time on farms, of creating opportunities for our volunteers to spend time on farms, is a really important piece of the work for Uproot.
I love it, and reminding people that we are our own stewards of our food and the plants that produce them.
Exactly. Yes. Which it's been such a joy over the past couple of seasons to work with you, Vanessa, and your business, Colorado Edible Forest, as well as with Drew Walters of CSU Extension in Pitkin County, to host a series of fruit tree pruning workshops, which are an educational opportunity for folks to learn how to better care for their fruit trees. It's been such a joy to work on that together.
Likewise, thank you. Yes, we completed our second year of the free fruit tree pruning workshop series, and we're going to continue offering them. Have you been able to notice any differences in the fruit trees that you know have been pruned when you're returning there and harvesting the fruit?
So, you know, I don't know that we've done an excellent job of tracking kind of quality of fruit at the trees that we have pruned through the pruning workshops yet, but I think there's a lot of opportunity in this area because, as you know better than I, appropriately pruning a fruit tree does increase the quality of the fruit. And so I think if we're able to provide the education that you so expertly and beautifully provided to folks who participated in those workshops and inspire people to become more active stewards of the abundance of fruit trees that exist in our valley and in our community, that really could have such positive ripple effects in terms of gleaning, so that the quality of the fruit could be increased for when we deliver it to local hunger relief agencies to distribute to people who need a little bit of extra support with accessing fresh fruits and vegetables. And I think also it could benefit kind of the community at large as well. You know, we invite community volunteers to take food home as well after gleaning events so that they can then prepare the food and eat the food that they've spent time harvesting. And I was talking to my colleague and Uproots Gleaning and Food Systems coordinator, Rachel, just before this, and she mentioned one of the reasons that gleaning is meaningful to her is that it has caused her to have a greater awareness of just how much fruit surrounds us in the Roaring Fork Valley in Garfield County. She used the phrase that it's kind of hiding in plain sight, but once you become aware of the fact that there's food growing out in nature in our community, it kind of helps her to feel a sense of place. And so I think that feeling could extend to more and more community members as we educate folks and create those educational opportunities together. So the prospect of being able to kind of improve the quality of the fruit that's produced in our valley is really exciting to me.
That's so thrilling. Has Uproot been able to keep track of the quantity or volume of food that has been redistributed as a result of your efforts?
Yes, we have. And so we got our start in 2017, as I mentioned. We're on the Front Range and the Western Slope, so we got our start in Boulder and in Carbondale, and since that time have been working hard to keep track of the amount of food that we're harvesting and redistributing, and proud to report that since that time we've been able to harvest and redistribute more than 400,000 pounds of fresh, locally produced surplus fruits and veggies, and redistribute that to community members and to hunger relief agencies that serve people in need. We record it in pounds and also in the number of servings. And the reason we do that is trying to get at the fact that the quality of the food that we're contributing to local hunger relief agencies is really high and filled with nutrients. And so reporting on servings is one of the ways that we try to kind of add a little bit more nuance to that story, because we want to acknowledge that not every pound of food is of equal nutritional value. So while it's 400,000 pounds, that equates to around just under 4 million servings of food.
Wow.
That has gone to Coloradans in need. So we're excited about that and excited to build on that work as we continue to expand our gleaning initiative and our programs in 2024.
If only there were a way to also report on the nutritional value, because this locally grown and fresh produce is surely much more nutrient dense and healthful than many of the fruits and vegetables you might find in the grocery store that have traveled a long time and been stored a long time.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great point, and it's something we've talked about. In fact, my colleague Dave, who's our co-director on the Front Range, is really excited about the prospect of measuring nutrient density in an attempt to, you know, tell that story even more clearly. And there's an organization in central Massachusetts, where I'm originally from, actually, called the Bionutrient Food Association. And they are working on measuring nutrient density, and so they've got methods to go about that. And Dave has been in touch with them previously about that prospect. And to date, we haven't had the capacity to take on that measurement, but it's certainly something we've talked about. And you know, it's proven that food that you're consuming more locally does have higher nutrient density than food that has traveled and been harvested much before it is ripe, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe that will be part of how Uproot tracks our impact and tells the story in the future. Just not something that we've quite had the capacity to do yet.
Cool. And how many hunger relief organizations does Uproot work with?
I have to run a report to get the totally up-to-date number, but I know at this stage it's more than 30 different hunger relief organizations across the state. And what those hunger relief organizations look like really varies. We try to spread the love, so to speak, and work with organizations of all different shapes and sizes. So that includes really large food banks, for example. We work with Food Bank of the Rockies, which is one of the major food banks, one of the five major food banks in the state of Colorado. We also work with, on the other end of the spectrum, really small organizations that serve really specific segments of the population, such as seniors. Or I'm also really excited about our partnership with, on the Front Range, an organization called Boulder Food Rescue that is kind of bringing food to people and where people are and trying to make it more accessible in that way, not requiring people to, you know, shift their schedules and come to pantries, for example, but bringing food to low-income housing, community rooms, for example, and recruiting the help of community leaders who live in those locations to distribute food to their own communities. So we really try to work with all sorts of different hunger relief organizations to get the food to Coloradans who need it most.
Well, you shared something by email earlier today, and I thought we should use this opportunity to announce it to our listeners in case they would like to join. But one of your partner organizations, Lift Up, is hosting a public tour of their new facility in Glenwood Springs, where they're going to have a warehouse, a receiving and distribution center, a thrift store, and a space that will eventually turn into a food storage and community kitchen. The tour is on Wednesday, May 29th at 6 p.m. at 100 Midland Avenue in Glenwood Springs, and the unit is 270. Is there anything more you'd like to say about that, Rita?
So I will say that that event is specifically for farmers and ranchers in the Roaring Fork Valley in Garfield County. And so we're facilitating this tour through the Roaring Fork Farmers and Ranchers Group, which is a joint chapter of the National Young Farmers Coalition and Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. And so the idea is to provide local farmers and ranchers with the opportunity to learn more about local hunger relief efforts in our community. Lift Up has also instituted a farm-to-food pantry program where now they're dedicating more and more of their budget for purchasing food towards purchasing from local producers, which is really an excellent program that I'm super excited about. And so this will be an opportunity for people in the farming and ranching community to connect with Lift Up staff, learn more about that program, and hopefully foster some collaboration and partnership so that it can continue to grow, so that not only is the amount of locally produced nutritious food available to people experiencing food insecurity increased, but also support for local farmers is increased as well. I know that this program has been a really positive thing for many farmers in our valley, and so we're excited to build on it and to get to learn more about it through this tour.
So exciting. Well, you mentioned the Roaring Fork Farmers and Ranchers, which is a chapter of the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. And in 2023, you participated in their fellowship program. What can you tell us about that program and your takeaways?
Sure, yeah. So the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union Fellows Program is a year-long program designed for folks who have an interest in agriculture and want to build skills in kind of community leadership, and also agricultural and food-related policy. So that's a big role that Rocky Mountain Farmers Union plays, is in advocating for legislation that will support family farmers and ranchers in our region, which is Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. And Rocky Mountain Farmers Union is a part of a larger organization, National Farmers Union, that advocates for policies that will benefit farmers and ranchers at the national scale, so in Washington, D.C. So through the Fellows Program, you learn about these two organizations, the way that they engage farmers and ranchers in kind of a grassroots sort of way. You learn about how farmers and ranchers can impact the legislative policymaking process through participation in these networks. And we also got to take a trip to Washington, D.C. to participate in the National Farmers Union annual fly-in, which is an event where members from across the country come together to speak to our elected officials, share what our needs are, and advocate for change that will support a more equitable, more environmentally sustainable food system. So it was really an eye-opening experience to participate in and to realize just how much power we as individuals who are interested in agriculture can have through, you know, the support of entities like Rocky Mountain Farmers Union and National Farmers Union.
That's so cool. Well, I knew our time would go quickly, but in closing, would you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Uproot and the ways that they can interact with Uproot?
Yes, absolutely. So I would say that visiting our website is a great place to start and a place from which you can access lots of different information. So that's uprootcolorado.org. We are always interested in having more volunteers participate in our work. So if you're interested in getting involved with harvesting food and redirecting it to hunger relief efforts in our community, please sign up and share your contact information with us so we can alert you to upcoming volunteer events that'll be coming up this harvest season. If you have a fruit tree on your property that you'd like us to come glean, there's also a way to let us know about that via our website by registering your fruit tree or fruit trees on our registry. Uproot is also hiring, and so that is available on our website as well. We'll be hiring staff members to join our team in Mesa County this year for the first time. And then on the Front Range, we'll be hiring staff to lead the gleaning program in the Fort Collins and Pueblo areas. So if you'd like to work with us, we'd love to chat with you. And then lastly, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and making a donation in support of our work is another way folks can get involved. That allows us to continue to build our capacity, increase our infrastructure, pay our staff better wages. We're excited about bumping up staff wages recently to more of a living wage rate. So all of that is dependent on support from the community. And so if you feel inspired to make a financial contribution, we're always incredibly appreciative of that as well.
Thank you, Rita. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule trying to maximize the efficiency of our local food system to join us today.
Thank you so much, Vanessa, for having me. It was great to talk with you, and appreciate your having me on.
Thank you also to our listeners for joining us today. Once again, I'm your host, Vanessa Harmony of Colorado Edible Forest in Glenwood Springs. You can find my contact info at coloradoedibleforest.com. Tune in next month on KDNK on the third Monday of the month for another episode of Living Permaculture. I'll talk to you then.
Pay.